Your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. Yes. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I am weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You led my heart to victory.
Darkest night. Amen. It's good to see all of you this morning. Let's take a moment and just verbally express your gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord for all he's done. Can you do that? Lord, we just, I know you like to clap and that's a good thing, but let's do right along with that. Come on, lift up your voices. It's right along with that. Lord, we just express our gratitude to you. We say thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your great goodness. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we lift our voices, we lift our hands, we applaud. God, we express our gratitude to you for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord. You're the great God, you're the mighty King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you here have somebody in your life that you want to stand right with you and also lift up their hands and say, thank God for saving me? Do you have that person? Then come on, let's take a moment right now. And as we're 2 weeks away from Easter, let's think about somebody that we can invite to come with us, or we can encourage to go to a church that's near them. You know what? You've got a little cards, death canceled, you know, pass those out, you know. The QR code on there, it will take them to information, two services on Easter Sunday morning, 9 and 11. And we're asking you to register. Only that just helps us to plan. But let's take a moment right now. Let's take a moment right now. And I want you to lock into some, maybe you can't identify a person by name, but in the next 2 weeks, guess what? If you're ready, the Lord will give you an opportunity. Amen? And maybe if you're not ready, he'll give you one anyway. Lord, we pray right now that we'll be ready to seize any opportunity that comes. Help us not to miss them. God, help us to express your love to people around us. It's not about really inviting them to church. That's not really the thing. But God, it may be a door for them. And we just pray that God, you'll help us to love them for you. God, to share your love and your truth with them in a way that they can grasp and understand. And that God, that they too can stand here on some Sunday morning and say, thank you for saving me. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you for putting me on a brand new path. Thank you for bringing me into relationship with you and giving me life worth living and with meaning and purpose. We thank you, Father. We trust you for this. Amen, friends. Amen and amen. God bless you as you're seated. Make sure you take those cards and put them in a pocket. Don't lose them in your car or somewhere, you know, but just have them ready to share with somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Great to have you here. I'm Pastor Brad. Welcome to Seaport. Today's kind of a, we don't make a great big deal out of it on these kind of, we call it off year, but today, to the day, it was March 26, 1989, that Seaport, then Assembly of God, opened its doors for the very first time. Yeah, and that's what we looked like all those years ago. Yeah. You just saw Debbie and Lindsay sitting right over here. And 34 years. We came here thinking maybe 12 years, 15 at the most. And it's been 34. And 34 years. And it's been a wonderful and amazing ride. Seaport got its start very simply when a group of seven very demoralized people met with me. They were almost all my family members. They met with Debbie and myself, and we said, we're going to build a great church for God in Groton. And they said, how are we going to do that? I said, we're going to call everybody in Groton and invite them to come. And they said, how are we going to do that? And I said, well, and off we went. And I told them how we were going to do it, and we did it. Made 22,154 phone calls over 16 nights. And back in those days when everybody had wired phones, you know, it was easy to do that. But anyway, on Easter Sunday morning, March 26, 207 people joined us at Fitch, then middle school. And we were off and running. And what a journey it has been. It was 5 years in the school, almost 10 years in rented facilities, which were a former, basically gym is what it was, and we were in there for almost 10 years, and we built this facility and moved into this facility. It'll be 20 years in August, so it's been quite a journey, and today, I've never checked this, but I'm pretty confident that I can say this, that you can go, I could probably go anywhere in America today, anywhere in America, coast to coast, border to border, and be within easy driving distance of somebody that's been part of Seaport in those 34 years. This church has had nationwide impact and beyond, primarily because of the military and people coming through for other reasons. And so we thank God that he's used this church in a significant fashion. And guess what? The best years are yet to come. You know what? I wasn't going to do this. Why don't you just stand with me quick? I just wanted to tell you just a little bit about that. And those of you in Engage tonight, I'll tell you just a little bit more. But, you know, let's just pray that we can step into all that God has for this church, because I've seen the future. I told you that a couple of weeks ago. I've seen the future of this church, and it's far greater than anything that you can currently see. Far greater than anything that you can currently see around you. And it was amazing to me when I saw it in the spirit. And so let's just pray that we can step into that fully. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's not about a building. It's not about numbers, but it's about people that Jesus loves. Amen? And there's not one of the nearly 40,000 people in Groton, the 275,000 in 20 minutes of here, there's not one that he doesn't love. Amen? Lord, thank you. Like the song, you've been faithful 34 years. 34 years. It's been interesting along the way, that's for sure, and challenging some days, but you've never left us nor forsaken us. And God, the future is amazing, and we're so thankful for that. God, help us as a church to step into that fully. Lord, help us just to walk with you and to step into all that you have for us as people, as family, as a church, to advance your great kingdom for the glory only of your great name. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends? Amen. Amen. Okay, you can be seated now. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know what? Now it's kind of exciting. We've got, come on, Melissa, we've got some kids that are going to give a special presentation, right? Come on. This is, I love this.
Thank you. All right, our kids are lining up. You guys can go ahead and start making your way. All right, this is awesome, guys. So our kids' church, which is our first through fifth graders, have been working on a praise song that they are going to be leading you in this morning. So they're going to be leading us in the song, Lion, by Elevation Worship. Now, in the book of Revelation, Jesus is called the Lion of Judah. And this morning, we are going to praise our King of Kings, our God, that conquered all, conquered death. And we're going to worship him this morning along with the kids. So the words will be up on the screen. Let me get out of the way so they can get lined up. Is this our front row? All right, friends, you can step forward up to here. There we go. Not on the line. Just step back a couple. There we go. Perfect. So, as I was saying, the words are going to be up on the screen. So if you guys would like to sing along with us, and we are going to worship our Lord together. They have been working really hard every Sunday during class, and they had a huge rehearsal last week. So they are super excited to bring this to you. All right, so I'm going to hand it over to Miss Andrea. It's going to help get our kids prepped.
All right, boys and girls, are you excited? Yes, we're excited to see this. All right. I want everybody to look out there and wave to your loved one, family member. Give them a big wave. See if you can find them out there. There you go. All right. And then on the count of three, I want to hear your roar. Give that mighty roar. Are we ready? One, two, three. Roar! All right.
Thank you. prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Oh, valley, be raised up.
All right. Woo. Amen. All right. You're going that way. Great job, kids. Thank you so much. Appreciate all the hard work. Thank you. Yay. Woo. Isn't that great? That's great. Thank you so much. You know, there's you see what's happening in here. There's a lot happening over there in that fellowship hall, too. And so appreciate all of that. We're going to take a moment right now and honor the Lord with our tithes and offerings. And so let's, you know, verse of scripture that came to my mind, you'll see it up on the screen there. As a result of your ministry, Paul writes this to the church of Corinth. He says, they will give glory to God. Thanks, Chris. For your generosity to them and to all the believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Just, he's writing to them and he's simply saying two very simple things. Is that, you know what? When you give, God gives glory and honor. Amen? You know? And he also says, you know what? That it shows that we're obedient to the Lord. We can say we love the Lord, but giving helps us to prove that we are. Amen? And you know what? And it gives glory to God. It blesses people. It causes them to go, thank you. And you know what? When you give, you kind of help carry the burden of this place. Amen? You're part of it. And you're saying, I want this place to go forward. That's when you give, that's what you're doing. Amen? You're not just simply saying, I'm a taker, I'm a giver. And so you give. I give glory to God for you when you give. And so let's pray. God, thank you for the privilege of giving. We give glory to you. God, I thank you for every giver in this place. God, they pour it out, and I'm so thankful for them. God, I'm thankful for how they invest in this place. And God, all the lives that we just saw on this platform are part of the recipient, God, of our giving. And God, the blessing that comes, and God, all the work that's done around here, God, is a result of our giving, and you get the glory and the honor. Thank you for the privilege of giving. We honor you today, Father. Amen, friends? Amen. Amen. Lots of ways to give. You can see that. Through the app, it's easy. Text to give. Old school through the giving boxes out there. You can do that. Come on, Chris, share a few things with us.
Thanks, Pastor Brett. And if this is your first time here, we just want to welcome you. Right? And we do that around here by clapping for you. We just honor you by clapping for you. Because we don't believe it's an accident. You're here on purpose, right? And we don't want to just clap for you, though, right? We want to truly connect with you. And the easiest way for you to do that is for you to text the word welcome to 860-969-2145. And then a small link will come back to you. All you have to do is just click on that link, fill it out. And just like that, shabam, we're connected. We're also available on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. We even have a TikTok page. And if you haven't met with Pastor Brad yet, it's easy to do. He'll be out in the narthex or in the cafe area after church today. Stop by and say hello. And so, hey, we have some awesome opportunities. And to sign up for many of these things, you need the Church Center app. So make sure you guys download the Church Center app. But this Wednesday, we're going to be going through the laws of spiritual power. And I'll be taking you through, are you the hindrance? And then Adam is also going to be leading a Bible study on Hebrews. And then Good Friday service is April 7th. It's a one-hour family service. Easter is coming up, only just a couple weeks away. And so make sure you guys see all those cards that are out there. Make sure you guys are inviting people to church. But we do ask you to register for that so that way we know exactly how to plan to have nursery services and all those things. And there is an egg hunt after each service. And then, hey, have you really fulfilled your God-designed role? And do you know where to serve? And if you haven't, then make sure that you guys are signing up for an Engage. Engage is happening tonight, actually. So make sure you guys sign up by noon if you want to get into tonight's Engage. And then guess what? If you have not made your Ranger Derby car yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. The Ranger Derby is coming up this next Saturday on April 1st. So make sure you guys are coming for that because it's going to be awesome. And then if you're in the, 30 to 50 age range and you just want to go out and act like little kids and have some laser tag fun, then that's going to be happening on April 14th. If you haven't come public with your faith yet, we're having a water baptism on April 23rd. So make sure you guys sign up for that and really, make that heart decision come public so everyone can see. And then after service today, there is a kids rehearsal for anybody, parents of ages 3 to 5, there's going to be a quick rehearsal here in the sanctuary right after service. And then, hey, we had City Creek just a week ago, right? And so we're now getting into Aftershock, and Aftershock is going to be happening today right after service in the fellowship hall. So make sure you guys join us for that. Now, if you guys are a youth, we're going to be releasing all the youth to the fellowship hall. And then if this is your first time here and you've never been to a newcomer's cafe, we're going to be having a newcomer's cafe, and that's going to be with Jessica, and it's going to be in the fireplace room. If you don't know where that is, just follow Jessica right out this door, and it's right across the hall. And there is cinnamon buns and muffins, and the cinnamon buns are really good, so, go for that. Now, we're going to be continuing our series on the commands of Jesus, and Adam is going to be talking to us about refuse to virtual signal. Adam?
Good morning, church. I hope you all got your fill of cuteness for this morning, because that is over. I don't know. I'm a little cute, yeah? My wife says I am. Sometimes. All right. I would say that virtue signaling is probably the most gag-inducing part of our modern political discourse. And our political discourse is rife with gag-inducing tropes. We have our virtuous opinion and we put it out there for the whole world to see so that it gets liked and it gets retweeted like a little kid that brings a drawing to their parents and goes, you put it up on the fridge? It's gross. It's gross and it's sinful. It's pride in action Oh, look at this great thing I did. Or oh, listen to this virtuous belief that I hold. When we do that, it really shows less than pure intentions, does it not? And as gross and as sinful as it is, virtue signaling is alive and well in the church today. You ever tell somebody how great a prayer meeting was just so they know you were at the prayer meeting? You ever done a marriage teaching and then went and told somebody else how great it was and how much it helped so that they know how godly your marriage is? You ever posted a picture of your quiet time on Instagram just so people know how much of Romans you have highlighted? Now, I've been guilty of some of these things and things like it. And I've repented for them, and I am going to further repent before you for some things that the Holy Spirit brought to me when writing this sermon this morning. So let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We are still in the Sermon on the Mount. In this section, Jesus calls out the religious Jews of that day for virtue signaling in their giving and in their prayer and in their fasting. He calls them out and shows them that it is the intention of their heart that drives their action. And this is a Hebrew culture that is used to doing these performative works in order to curry favor with God. That's not how it works. I'm here to tell you that this morning. And Jesus is telling them that this morning as well. We can't make God love us with our good works. See, our salvation is given to us as a gracious gift from God. We can't twist his arm into making him love us. And Jesus shows the religious Jews of that day that this is the case, that these performative works are not what God is after, and that they should rejoice in the spirit of God's law, because it causes us, when we live according to God's law, it causes us to flourish in every way. It blesses our lives and gives us abundant life. And as I read this, I can't tell you how many times I've previously read this section of scripture. But when I sat down to write this sermon, the Holy Spirit did a number on me and really took me to task on some things. See, I titled this sermon, "Thou Shall Not Virtue Signal." And I think if it had a subtitle, it would probably be "Conviction's Greatest Hits: When Spiritual Pursuits Turn Sinful." So let's put on a brave face and go through this text together this morning. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, starting in verse 1. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do when they give to the needy in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not pray like the hypocrites, for they stand and pray in the streets and in the synagogues that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen before others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. Christians give. Christians pray and they fast. But that's not really what these commands are about. See, Jesus takes it for granted that we're already going to do these things. Notice, he doesn't say if you do these things. He says when you do these things. Now, Jesus doesn't say how often. He doesn't say what we're supposed to give or how often we are supposed to fast and pray. He doesn't say that our tithe money has to be taken out the same amount every single week from our bank account. He doesn't say that we have to say the same prayer before dinner every night or that we should skip one meal a week. Because if you're asking how much, if you're asking how often, well, you're asking the wrong questions. See, because we don't do these things to curry favor with God. We don't do them to earn our salvation. As I said before, we can't do that. If we're trying to earn something by our prayer, if we're trying to earn something by our fasting and our giving, that reward that you receive, it's from men. It's not from God. We can't perform well enough to twist God's arm into saving us. Our salvation is a gift of free grace from a loving Father that is won for us by the life, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. And then through repentance and faith, then we come to see the blessing that is inherent with living by God's law. We come to see how wonderful it is when we live the way that God designed us to live, and it brings glory to His name. This, the ordering of this, is the most important thing about your Christian walk. See, let's do a little math this morning. What we have is faith equals salvation plus works, not faith plus works equals salvation. We work and do good things because God has loved us. We don't do good things in order to get God to love us. And work requires practice, prep, planning, various other P words. But do we believe that when it comes to God's work, that this is actually the case? I feel like the church today, believes that, well, if it ain't spontaneous, it ain't spiritual. We want preachers that don't use notes. We want worship leaders that sing spontaneous lyrics, and we want prayers that come off the top of our head like freestyle rap lyrics. We somehow believe that if we do any work ourselves, well, then we're not submitted to the Holy Spirit. I submit to you that we don't do the necessary work because we're lazy and undisciplined. And I think the church fathers would back me up on that. I don't understand why we feel as though preparation is such a bad thing. Why it's not, but like the Holy Spirit can't work in our prep. Like the Holy Spirit can't work in our disciplines. Think about it. We talk about having an appointment with God, and does this scheduled time to read the scripture, does this scheduled time of prayer diminish in any way its spiritual impact? To quote the Apostle Paul, by no means. No, quite the opposite. It shows a dedication to wanting to be in the presence of God. It shows a dedication and a want to be in God's presence, to make sure that we are there daily in God's presence, to hear from Him in the Word and speak to Him in prayer. What happens if you don't plan your meals? Right? You get to dinner, things happen and they go on and on. You get to dinner time and you go, I forgot to take the meat out. Now we don't have anything to eat because it's all frozen. And what ends up happening? But you eat cheap, quick garbage. Same thing for our spiritual life. Now, there's a ditch on the other side of the road as well. If you're in your scheduled time and you set an alarm for when you're supposed to start doing something else, and you're in the middle of a chapter of the Bible and you go, oh, time's up, or you're, oh, this prayer is over now, better say amen. No, that shows more dedication to your schedule and the other things of your life than to the things of God. So we have to make sure that this is neither begrudging obedience or just kind of letting things go by the wayside in order to be spontaneous, but we have to make sure it's not dead repetition either. You notice how, and Pastor Brad just did it, so you did notice, that we don't pass the plate here on Sundays and Wednesdays. And it's because most people have their tithes and their offerings, and they come out of their bank accounts, or they do the text to give or whatever. So there's really no need to pass the plate. Well, then why? We could just skip over that. We would have maybe we would have time for another song, and we could do that. No, but we dig into the scriptures to see what the blessing is that is inherent from our giving. The way we show what God is expecting from us. It keeps us in touch of the reason why that money is coming out of our bank accounts. We say what we're doing with that money to keep you in touch with what's happening and who we are able to bless by your giving. We stay connected to those spiritual pursuits in this way. Now, as we get further and further into the year and into these commands of Christ, we have to understand something. And we really need to get this into our hearts, that the commands in the Bible are never meant to impede our joy. Christ's commands don't make our lives any less fun. There is no thou shalt not laugh. There is no thou shalt not have a good time. The commandments of Christ are meant to lead us into abundant life, to live the life that is blessed by God, under God's command, in a way that is found to be pleasing to Him. You ever think about the fact that there is blessing inherent in obedience to God? Now, God set this whole thing up. And then He tells us the way that we ought to live. Perfect, right? Laid it out. Not only that, but then He goes, well, if you do what I have told you to do, I'm going to heap blessing upon you for doing it. Like, how good is God that would do that for us? Not only tell us the way to go, but then bless us for going in the way He has laid out before us. But those who perform these works rather than do them to the glory of God, their reward comes from men, and God turns a blind eye. So let's go through them one at a time, shall we? When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Easy. Don't announce your giving. It is hypocritical to call yourself charitable if you're expecting some kind of reward for your charity, even if it's just a round of applause or a pat on the back. And now people with more have the opportunity to give more. Not the obligation, but the opportunity. You see, because if you, and this goes for anything. It doesn't have to just be money. It could be food. It could be time. And if you have more of these things to give, then really, the quieter you should be about your giving, because you have, you can afford it. You can afford to give the extra money. You can afford to give your time away. But isn't it true that the greater the sum, despite the fact that you can afford it, is generally what gets people to sound the trumpet, as Jesus would say? It's because we become obsessed with the sum of money. We could put the plaque up with somebody's name on it that says, I gave enough money that this wing of this hospital or this wing of this church or whatever it may be, I did that. How generous. And it's those things take a great deal of money to do, no doubt. But let's be honest, people aren't taking out loans to do these things. They give out of their abundance. And when we get obsessed with the sum of money or the amount of time, we're looking for the applause of men. We are not looking for God's approval. See, God approves of those who give quietly from their lack. Jesus talks about the poor widow who gave her final amount of money, put it in the offering box. Paul goes on and on about a church from Macedonia that gave him everything that he needed, plus some, despite the fact that they were poor as well. God doesn't care about the sum. He cares about the condition of the heart of the one who gives. And this is one of the only areas that God says, test me in this. Malachi 3, 6 through 12. God tells Israel that if they bring all of the offering that He has required, if they bring their full tithe, what is he going to do? He is going to open the windows of heaven for them and pour out blessing upon them so that they will see no more need. Not only that, he goes even farther. He says he will destroy the devourer. He will shut the mouth of the devourer, which means that all of the things that would cause them not to be able to bring that, he's going to stop that. They will have no more excuse to do that. Some of you are like, ah, that's Old Testament. That's that promise probably isn't for us anymore. No, well, though I would disagree with you, I submit to you 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15, where the Apostle Paul says that God loves a cheerful giver, that if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully, and that God gives to those who give. He gives generously to those who give generously in all areas. And this is a continual cycle, and it should be silent as those who can give and those who, and then you bless those who can't. And it goes on and on and on. And guess what? God is glorified in every single silent transaction. When you pray, you must not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners. When you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Do not heap up empty phrases, or as some translations say, vain repetitions, as the Gentiles do. Do they think that they think that they'll be heard for their many words? Your Father knows what you need before you ask. Now, this section is not against public prayer, despite what the secularists would like to tell you. This is not against corporate prayer. It's also not against going and praying for people in the streets. That would be something, right? We do City Quake and they teach us how to go and pray for people in the streets for like a week, and then I get up here and go, Jesus said that's a sinful practice. No, that is not the case. That is not what Christ is talking about here. This is about prayer that is aimed at men and not at God. And I got to tell you that this section got to me. I've ended many sermons and prayed, seeking to get one last emotional response out of you before we do the last song. I'm sorry. It's manipulative, and it doesn't glorify God for me to do that. And has anyone ever been asked to lead prayer and said no? And you said no because the person before you got real fired up. They paraphrased scripture and they just fervently repeated themselves on. And then they got a thunderous round of amens afterwards. And you were like, I'll let a couple other people go, because I'm not going to be able to measure up to that. How many more people would be comfortable leading prayer if we prayed the way that Jesus told us to? Simply, humbly, in reverence to God, knowing that he knows all that we need and provides it. I How are we supposed to hear God's response to our prayer anyway if we're shouting so loud and getting the crowd around us fired up as well? Now, I've taken steps to no longer do that. I want God to hear my prayers, and I want to hear God's response. And God does hear you. You don't have to repeat yourself. Take comfort in that. Don't heap up empty phrases and vain repetitions. The Greek for that is batalegio. It means to stammer. You know, like saying Lord or God instead of or because it sounds more holy. We've all done it. And we do it because we haven't actually planned out what we're going to pray. We haven't thought about it because we think that it should just come off the top of our head as led by the Holy Spirit. And there is a place for that. But generally, we just talk. And we talk in order to fill up space so that the people that are listening to us in prayer will go, this guy's spiritual. And maybe we'll even trick God into thinking that we're spiritual if we just keep going, even though we haven't really said anything. We just go before the Lord and we wing it. There's no shame in writing prayer down. There's no shame in going before the Lord with organized thoughts. Think, if you are going to go petition an earthly government, you're going to go before them with no plan? Why would you do that when you're going before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And, yeah. Feel free, flex, move as the Spirit gives you prompting when you go before the Lord in prayer. But Jesus gives us an outline for what generally prayer should look like. I think we should probably pay attention to that, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do we think God will answer that simple prayer? And again, these aren't magic words that Jesus is giving us. This is an outline. This is something that we should take and put our needs into specific sins that come to us, specific needs that we have. This is just an outline to go before God so we know what we're going to say. So we don't just stammer and say nothing before God. And this simple prayer took me, 10 seconds to get through? You know how much is promised in this one simple prayer? Like, this goes through so much, and all of it is promised to be answered by Scripture. We see God continually answer these prayers. What can we expect? First of all, we can expect to be put into God's will if we are truly willing to be there, to move into God's will. That is a blessing in and of itself. We can be promised provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Whatever our daily bread may need to be for us, God promises that he will provide it. We are promised forgiveness of our sins. This gives us an assurance of our salvation. We know that when we go before God and repent, God is already going to forgive us. That should blow our minds. Now, there is a bit of a caveat here. God says that we ought not look for mercy where we don't give mercy. Now, that's another thing that we pray. Lord, be merciful on me. Help me to be merciful as well. These are huge things. And we're not done. We can expect to be further sanctified within this prayer. We can expect protection and deliverance from evil in this simple prayer. All these things that we can always expect God to give to us out of a simple and humble prayer. Jesus says, God already knows the things that you need. So ask humbly and simply. The Apostle Paul, in one of his prayers for the Ephesian church, and I love to pray through Ephesians. That's another thing. If you're like, I don't know how to pray. Yeah, that's a good idea. There are so many prayers in Scripture. Go into Ephesians and just read through the prayers that the Apostle Paul prays within that letter. It will bless you immensely. These are prayers that God has already answered and promises to answer over and over again. But he says, the Apostle Paul says that God is able to do more abundantly than we could ask or even think. So when we pray humbly, we go before God and we ask these things, and our faith is too small or our imagination is too small, God fills in the gaps because he's bigger than that. We don't have to know how. We don't have to pray for God how to do these things. We just have to know that he can. And when he does, praise him for it because he can. Just ask. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They disfigure their faces that their fasting would be seen before others. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others. Newsflash. Fasting is hard. Yeah. It takes not only spiritual discipline, but it takes physical discipline. And this is not just an arbitrary foregoing of meals. No, the time that would be spent in preparing and eating those meals are meant to be spent in spiritual pursuits, in deep prayer, in reading and studying of the scripture, of mortifying sin, whatever it is, spiritual pursuits, time with God. And we know that we're not supposed to start these conversations. We're not supposed to virtue signal about our fasting. So we don't just generally, blatantly come up to people and go, huh, fasting is difficult. Yeah, no, this is very hard on me. No, instead, what do? We drag ourselves in on Sunday. We drag ourselves in on Wednesday so that people around us are concerned. And they come up to us and go, brother, are you well? What's happening? Are you okay? Yeah, you know, I've been fasting for a couple of days and I'm seeing some great responses to prayer, but oh, this is difficult. And we think it's not virtue signaling because we didn't start it. Jesus says that's sinful behavior because you're looking for it. Anoint your head, wash your face. If his yoke is easy and his burden light, then why does it look like you're dragging a plow through concrete? If you want pity for doing God's work, why would anybody else do God's work? See, unbelievers don't want anything to do with Jesus anyway. So if you look like living for Christ is killing you, then you profane the name of God. happy day. There's application for this beyond fasting. Do you sigh before you sit down and read your Bible? Do you continually and deliberately skip over Leviticus and Chronicles during the year? Are we gloomy before God because we think his burden is heavier than he said it is? What if I told you that we were going to start taking Ephesians 5:19 literally? We're going to start service with a psalm, a hymn, and then we'll do a modern spiritual song. Would you continue to show up on time? Would you mill around in the narthex for a little extra time until we started playing a Bethel tune? Do we disfigure our faces before God because psalms aren't four-chord pop songs that tug on our heartstrings? Now, I'm very convicted on the other side of this. God made me a rather aggressive performer. I don't know if you've noticed. I used to play in a punk band. I used to play in a metal band. So when the songs are a little more upbeat and aggressive, that thing switches in my brain that says, all right, it's time to whip the people up. It's time to get a reaction. That's not what I'm here for. It's manipulative. It's not what worship is designed to be. And it shows you that you can treat certain songs preferentially to others. I'm sorry. That is not what I should be doing. The worship band is here to lead this congregation into praise of the Almighty God. We're not here to perform for you. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. This doesn't mean that worship should be dead or emotionless. No. God is deserving of your praise. Sing loud. Sing with a full heart to a God that deserves more worship than you will ever be able to give him. Raise your hands to the Lord. Clap your hands. Do these things. All of these things are good and right to do. God deserves your fervent worship. But check your heart. Don't let your praise become a burden because the song doesn't fit your taste. And don't let your praise become performance because those four chords tug at your heartstrings. Now, as with prayer, fasting is not always a singular pursuit. We have done corporate fasts here. We do group fasts for the men and women before they go on encounter and things like this. So we can do corporate fast, but you'll notice that when Pastor Brad calls for a corporate fast, he usually goes, okay, 7 days or whatever, fast as you will, pray for this. And it's either for one big thing or he will let people know each day what it is that we're supposed to be praying and fasting about. He never then gets up here on a Sunday or Wednesday and goes, all right, raise hands. Who fasted today? 3 meals, 2 meals, 1 meal. Okay, the rest of you need to step it up. We don't do it so that people can come in and pat each other on the back and be like, did you fast today? I certainly did. Oh, well, good job, brother. You're really toeing the line. Ow. That's performative. We lay it out as we are meant to do, and we do it in secret, knowing, despite the fact that it's in secret, we know we're united on it. And that's, and God responds to fasting. God responds to these spiritual pursuits. Acts 13 says that during a time of fasting, God came to the church at Antioch and said, send out Paul and Barnabas on a missionary journey. So they received that vision, and instead of stopping fasting, they continued to fast then for their protection, for their provision, and for God's blessing upon their work. And they went, and Paul planted churches all over the Mediterranean. And he wrote half of the New Testament. God responded to that fast. Not good enough? Okay. Acts 10, Cornelius prays, and he gets a vision of Christ telling him to go send people to bring Peter back to him. And then Peter does. He comes back to Cornelius' house, and this leads to the Gentile people being brought into the church of God. The church at Lystra prayed before they committed their elders to the Lord. God responds to these spiritual pursuits, to these disciplines, to these fasts. These people were gifted with immense discernment and blessing. These fasts changed not only the course of these people's lives, they in some cases changed the course of history. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Tell me, who's helped by knowing how much you gave in the offering this morning? Who's helped in an exciting but vain prayer? Who's helped by knowing you haven't eaten in a couple of days? The answer is no one. You may get a pat on the back, but that's it. Because God doesn't reward a show-off. And let's be honest, if we're showing off with our spiritual disciplines, then we're not looking for God's approval anyway. God blesses those who earnestly seek Him. He blesses those who obey His commandment with a full heart and a willing spirit. He blesses those that follow His commandments because they know it's for their good and for God's glory. He blesses the humble and the spiritually disciplined. Because if we are those things, then God will work through you. God will boast in Himself. We don't have to do it. In our weakness is when God's strength is truly shown to those around us. And God will be gracious to us. God will draw near to us as we truly draw near to Him. Because He loves us. And He wants our good and our flourishing. Let's stand, let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are good and gracious to us always. We seek the coming of Your kingdom and the accomplishment of Your will on earth. Guide us and empower us by Your word and Your Holy Spirit to live within Your will. You are our provider, the giver of all good gifts. Give us all that we need and push us to be generous. Forgive us, Lord, where we have failed, where we have performed rather than seeking You, where we have grumbled and complained rather than rejoicing in Your commands. None of us are exempt. We repent of our sins before You here this morning, especially where charity and prayer and fasting should bring us nearer to You. God, help us to see when this is going on in others' lives, to kindly and lovingly point them back to what Your word has said. I pray that You would draw near to us. that we would no longer seek the approval of men. Put us back on the narrow path to follow Christ and keep us safe and secure upon it. Amen.
It all comes down to the heart. It's never been about religious performance. It's always been about relationship with Him. He wants a heart. Let's just take a moment and just simply say, Lord, help me to love You. And help me to make sure everything that I do is not from any other reason than out of love for You. Amen, friends? Can we do that? Lord, we want this to be about loving You and not about earning points with somebody or something. Help us just to love You, whether it's giving or praying or fasting or worship, whatever it is. May we be sincere from our hearts. You're looking for those that will worship you in spirit and in truth. May you find them here. Just take just another moment. We're about to conclude. So just take a moment. Those of you here and those of you online, just take a moment. Just simply say, God, just reveal my heart to me. Reveal my heart. Cut through the self-deception, any kind of performance-based nonsense. God, by your Holy Spirit, just reveal anything that's there that we need to deal with. You don't come with condemnation. Lord, you come with conviction to heal us. You long to be near us. And God, you want us to draw near to you because we love you. Help us to do that. You know, as we do that, did you hear, did you see the lyrics of that song? Let's just sing the last part again, sweetheart, please. Come on, sing it with me.
I will sing of love come down. As you show your face, we'll see.
We want to see your glory here, Lord. May you find us ready to receive it. Display your great glory at Seaport. And the fullness of anything that you desire. To you be all glory and praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just say this with me as we close. Lord, help us to see your glory here. As I'm saying that, and I'm saying, God, help my heart to be right and pure. Thank you, Lord. If you need prayer, the team will come and they'll pray with you. They'll give you a few moments. The kids are going to be in here in a few moments to rehearse, but there's a little bit of time in there to pray. If you need some prayer for somebody just to pray with you, just come right now. The team will come. And then in just a few minutes, our early childhood class will be up here and they'll be rehearsing. If you're interested in being involved in Aftershock, I hope that you are. The informational meeting in the fellowship hall. And remember, if you're going to sign up and join me tonight for Engage, I need to do that by noon, so I know you're coming. So jump right on that, please, okay? So we'll prepare for you. Lord, thank you for this. Our hearts are challenged. We want to walk before you in holiness and purity. We want our friends and our family, fellow Christians and God people that don't know you to say, yeah, you know what? That person's the real deal. They're the real deal. Help us to be the real deal. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. Amen. Go and be the real deal.